For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
And we evaluate how we operate and ways we can improve our organization. And as we enter this pivotal offseason, we have several complex decisions ahead of us. And we are committed to providing the human and financial resources needed to ensuring, Mike, that we navigate these decisions with a high level of precision and foresight.
Now, again, that's Orrin playing that soundbite. And again, we don't see a guy, we don't see anybody lose their job.
No,
I mean,
no.
He was getting compensated for it. By the way, look it up. He made like $20 million in the league as a player over the years.
Which pretty, Landry?
Yeah, surprised me. But again, you know, but it's a result-driven business like anything else. Nico Harrison's going to get fired, I would imagine, in Dallas because he said some stupid things in light of the Luka trade, and the more that's come to light. But yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, like if we're wrestler, we're in this, Carl, it's literally Groundhog Day.
It is.
Every morning, you know, it never changes. It's like Bill Murray, you hit the alarm, same old. We are in, we're 500, sub 500. I've talked about the teams that were below us that have reached and they've gone above us. And then the constant, of course, is, you know, you have a lot of folks here that feel that Trae Young is legitimate superstar in this league and he deserves more respect than he gets. And you just got to go get him the right piece. And they've never done. Now, I'll agree with all those people. Yes, we've never given him the star. The DeJounte Murray thing was stupid. Made no sense at the time. You and I didn't think it made sense then. Doesn't now. But now you got Reese Sauchet. Look, and guys, well, Mike, you're banging on the GM. He did get Reese. Well, look, it was either Reese Sauchet or Sarr. I think either one's going to be good. Sarr might have been a slower burn to get going, but Sarr's a big man. We need a big man. Reese Sauchet looks like a good piece, although Reese Sauchet was terrible, let's be honest, in the playoffs.
He was terrible.
You know, I mean, that's a learning moment for him.
Yep.
But, you know, when are we going to spend the money? And I'm not talking about Carl. You and I have said this. You're not bringing a name in here for name's sake. That's silly. You know, but you've got to get the right pieces. And now we have no idea who this general manager is going to be. I would say you go get somebody from one of those teams we mentioned, teams which have turned it around very quickly. That's what you need.
Yeah, there are about, you know, obviously there are 10 or so franchises, maybe 12 that you look to and say they've had an incredible turnaround. Listen, Sam Presti right now at Oklahoma City is the standard. He leaves San Antonio as a young guy under Pop and another guy named R.C. Slocum, or R.C. Buford, should I say, who've been in San Antonio for a long time. And they have been the two guys that have made all these decisions when it comes to how they've gone about their business. And, Mike, for everybody that talks about, you know, no, guys don't want to come here and all that stuff.
Baloney.
It's crap, man. It's crap. And I just feel like you got to have decision makers who have a bigger vision and of understanding where they want to go. But Presti's the guy. He's not going anywhere. The OKC Thunder might be good for a decade, depending on how they maneuver and keeping guys. And he set that situation up after, by the way, already having Durant and Harden and Westbrook, which were all MVPs. And he's about to have another one in SGA.
Right.
So I just – that he's not going anywhere. But that's what you want. You want to go to one of those organizations and say, hey, I need somebody with that kind of vision and understanding where the league is at with these aprons and how we can maneuver the luxury tax. We got a lot of money to spend. What do we need to do?
Now, again, guys, if you're cool – and I get a lot of fans and the rallying cries, young core, young core. Carl looked at the ages. Yes, we're a young core. So what? I mean, we're going to talk about our process now. Talk to the Sixers. How did that process work out? Okay? We've talked about it. We had a group of players, okay, in 21. You decided that, we can debate whether Red Velvet was worth keeping or not, right? What his career has been afterwards, after he went on to Sacramento. But you started subtracting pieces that got you to this conference championship. And I heard on the broadcast, and I thought Ian Eagle brought this up the other day. He goes, people are looking back at 21 is it an aberration that after COVID that not everybody was putting the work in or was as committed or whatever, and we just got on a heater? See, I don't buy that. I think Trey and we were better. And everybody still had to play by the same damn rules. Carl, it was the same damn sport. They didn't change it. And we were better. And I think if Trey doesn't get hooked up with the ref on the sideline, I'd have given us a 50-50 to beat the Suns if we'd gotten past Milwaukee.
Oh, I agree.
Those guys were soft as Charmin.
Well, we forget. And Trey had 48 in that first game against Milwaukee. Like, he was balling. And then the foot thing happened. You're right. We will always look back at that. But it's time to look forward, man, and say, where are we going? I know he averaged 24 and 12 assists a game. I get it. But I asked the question because this is what the Hawks are going to have to ask themselves. Can we win with him?
And again, part of the reason Chris Thomas, a former producer here at Night Now on 92.9 The Game, going, wow, he'll tell you about it himself. But on social media today, he was saying, man, we're firing Landry Fields. Just he's starting to figure it out. Sorry.
No.
3 years in, You had your chance and you blew it.
Yeah, no.
You just talked about it, man. We lost 3 number one picks for the most ill-advised trade in history since they dumped Dominique for Danny Manning. Stupid. Dumb. We wasted positive momentum, and we lost momentum, and we went backwards, and the only thing we have to show for it is Dyson Daniels now. And I don't move 3 picks, waste 2 of Trey's years just to get Dyson Daniels in the rub. That's stupid.
No, it is. That was that's one that comes back to bite you. More on the Hawks, guys, as they fire Landry Fields today and what their future is. More on the Braves as well. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1. Mike, all the conversation leading up to the draft is about what edge rushers are potentially healthy. This is a big point of contention, guys. We need to talk about this for a second. Because as much as you may have fallen in love with 1 or 2 or 3 of these guys, and you say Dukes and Bell, this is the guy that's going to be the difference maker, and he might be. But if there are injury concerns going into the draft,
right,
that doesn't change once he becomes an Atlanta Falcon. As a matter of fact, it becomes more of a concern as to whether he's going to be ready for OTAs and rookie camp. And, Mike, then we talk about training camp. And, don't let it be one of these nagging injuries that we don't know about that maybe hasn't been all reported. And now we're going into a season with a guy that's banged up. No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yesterday, or I think it was last week on Friday, I said, you know what, man? The more I've been talking about it and talking to myself, I want Mykal Williams. And then I see Albert Breer in Monday Morning Quarterback today, and he basically says that Mykal Williams had a so-so workout. Oren was talking about this today in our show meeting. Didn't really run very well. Told teams he wasn't at his best because an ankle injury from the fall still hampered him a little.
How long is this thing going to be? How long are we talking about?
That's the thing. Then you say, well, does this ankle need surgery? And I'm not trying to put words in people's mouths, but you know, I really like Mykal Williams. I think Georgia player in our system rounds into a really good edge rusher, but that's a concern. Jahad Campbell from Alabama, they're saying he might start the season on the PUP list.
What?
Yep. Apparently, he's got a shoulder injury. He had shoulder surgery after the combine. Teams are projecting him as a candidate to start the season on the PUP list.
That's not good news.
So that's another guy, and he's picked right where we are picking, right in that area. Will Johnson, another guy you see on mock drafts coming to the Falcons. That's if we go corner. He's got an injury. He's had issues himself. He's got a knee injury that's been flagged. He did not do the 40 in his pro day. Didn't do 40 in a subsequent workout for other teams.
Mike, he's not a burner either.
No, that's a red flag. And, of course, Abdul Carter, everyone says he may still need some surgery. But whether that's all about how your medical sees it. These are all guys projected to pick before where we are, 15 to 16 and number one.
Now, everybody I've talked to says don't worry about Abdul Carter Dukes. He played in all the games. He's legit. The film doesn't lie. He's blah, blah, blah. Mm. He hadn't done any of this stuff when it comes to working out for teams, Mike. Even in his pro, like, he's talked to everybody. He's done the medical stuff, and everybody's aware of what's going on with him, but he hadn't worked out. Like, he hasn't really done anything to either enhance. And again, when you're considered to be the top edge rusher, do you need to enhance your situation? Somebody's going to roll the dice and take a chance on you. But I find that concerning, just a little bit. I mean, Danny, you can tell me that you're not worried, but that's a little concerning. So let me ask you this then. Knowing what you just said about these guys, Thursday's the draft. Are you leaning more now towards Shamar Stewart or Jalen Walker if one of those guys are there, or Mike Green or Mike anybody right. outside of one of these guys that may have a lagging injury? Maybe a James Pierce? Would you be more tempted to draft those guys based on the fact that you know they don't have any of the
well,
stuff
that just
going
did.
On?
I mean, it's like, well, two ways of looking at it. I mean, you know, the Michael Penix Jr. thing, because the coach wanted Kirk Cousins, at least what D-Led said. Steve Weiss thought it came from Arthur Blank. I thought it came from Arthur Blank. We talked to D-Led a few months back, and he's like, no, man, coach wanted Cousins from his time with Redskins. And that our GM told us that we'd never be picking this low, and you couldn't turn down Penix Jr., so we went with it. Okay, so that's different. Now your job's on the line, and edge rush is a glaring weakness. So are you telling me you're going to take a guy that maybe has the higher upside, but there's a short term he gets adjusted to the position?
Mike, you don't have that
he
kind of time.
He has an injury? No, I need an impact guy right now.
You don't have that kind of time.
That's Mike Green, right? That's no, Mike Green if I got to get impact.
We don't have Atlanta. We don't have that kind of time.
He doesn't have that time. If we don't make the playoffs, Fontenot's going to get fired. Maybe Rob, but I know the Jim is going to get got. Okay? Because if you want to give him that first year as a pass with the cap and everything else, this is still now on his watch. That would be four seasons now without a trip to the playoffs. So you'd be gone.
All right, let's talk Kirk Cousins here for a second, and we've got more interesting information coming up at 5 o'clock about Cousins. Guys, we told you the draft is when this might play out. It just might this week. We're going to wait to see. But Dan Patrick was talking about this, Mike, in regards to Aaron Rodgers. And what is the holdup for him going to Pittsburgh? It seems like the best situation for him, even though he says he has other options. Listen to what Dan Patrick says about this.
But if you say, all right, now I know what I have here, who I have here, I've spoken to the coach, I've spoken to the GM, spoken to ownership here. All right, now let me see what you do in the draft. Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers, are you getting somebody who's going to help me if I'm your quarterback? Are you going to draft my replacement and I'm not even there to be replaced yet? And I think what happened to Kirk Cousins in Atlanta is something that Aaron Rodgers is probably at least aware of.
And it gets us back to, you know, we know Kirk Cousins, he maybe wraps it up in a more warm and fuzzy package than Aaron Rodgers, but at the end, they're both egomaniacs, and they're guys that obviously were threatened. Now, and in Cousins' defense, he thought he was coming here with just that same kind of plan. They did an end around. He did not know we were going to get Penix Jr. You saw his reaction on draft night. But you buy that, what Dan's selling, that basically Aaron Rodgers is in that same argument.
Yeah, but I also have to – you have to think about where you're at in your career. You're not 26.
This could be your last ride. You're going to take Pittsburgh back to the Super Bowl or not, and you get one shot at it, and you're such a big gunslinger, and you're such a this and that. Well, go for it, big shot. The big ball's on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. No, I got to have total security in a position for 1 year? Get out of here.
No, I just feel like if I'm a 40-plus-year-old guy, even regardless of how many MVPs I've won, I have to know my time's limited. They're probably going to draft a quarterback, and I'm going to – wherever it is, the best situation. I've said this before. For people who continue to say he's going to sit out, you don't get to pick who gets hurt. You don't get to pick what the circumstances are with that particular team. Everybody assumes it's going to be a contender, and that guy's going to get hurt, and then Aaron's going to come to the rescue. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So I just think you go and you pick a decision or you make a decision on where you want to go, but it can't be based on do they have my replacement? You're 40 plus. Isn't that they're going to get somebody else to come in and eventually think about the next decade? 404-726-0929. We got a lot more to chop up. Chris Drapp's going to stop by, talk some Falcons with us about the draft as we lead up to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, guys. 12 years in the NFL, played for the Falcons in the early 2000s. We'll get his thoughts. And also, Carolina. As we talk about this division, listen, they have belief now that Bryce Young has taken the right step. Now they need to go figure some other things out.
Right. And are we going to see Shedeur Sanders in a Saints uniform?
We'll ask Chris Drapp next.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is the Hawks' future now? We are going to talk more about it as we continue on this Monday. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Connor Riley is going to stop by to talk Dogs. Dogs got a couple of big commitments over the weekend. Guys out of the portal, we'll talk about that, and we'll get back into the Braves, who finally won a series, and hopefully things are turning in the right direction. All of that's on the way, but right now we're talking draft, and Chris Draft, played 12 years in the NFL. Stanford educated, Mike. And, of course, was a Falcon, played with Carolina, St. Louis. But, man, Chris, it's always good to have you on and talk with you. We usually see Chris out at events, and he's usually, you know, he's usually out at these events right. that we go to with the Falcons. But, man, I know you're as anxious as we are to find out which direction the Falcons are going to go in the first round. My question is, what direction do you think they should go?
Well, I think it's obvious, just like last year. Like last year, pretty much everybody that was in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was like, we need pressure. We need more pressure on defense. We need the edge pressure that's similar to a John Abraham, that's similar to a Vic Beasley when he was rolling, that is a Patrick Kearney and Brady Smith. It's a Chuck Smith, right?
Right.
You know we need that with now the complement of getting that pressure up the middle that we lost with losing Brady.
The thing is, and you said it, man, we have not had that kind of – you played on those teams with Mike Vick and Patrick Kearney and Rod Coleman was here. We just had a lot of dudes that were just alphas on that D-line and the great linebacker core that you were a part of. And right now it just seems like, do you feel that we have the talent, Chris, in the building? We just haven't seen it because of all the injuries.
Well, I'll say the team is good enough to win. I mean, if we're watching, you know, like really watching last year's games, is that unfortunately the injury – caught up with Kirk Cousins there, and he had a stretch where you had to stick with him, paid him so much money, you got to stick with him. But in sticking with him, it really made it where it really was one or two games, and they're in the playoffs. So that tells you the Falcons are not that far off, but that's how the NFL is. What is not that far off? It's a team that is talented but needs to be able to make the plays at the right time to be able to go to the next level.
Chris, what did you think of Ron and his coaching job last year? Listen, he's not a first-time head coach, but I do think the second time around, guys are usually better. And, you know, there were a couple of gaps last year where fans wondered, oh, is he making the right decision in clock management, et cetera. But what did you think overall? Do you have a sense on where he is? Because what we get is that the players love him. Like, the guys, they want to play for him and they love him. And I think that's really all that matters, even though, you know, mistakes as a coach are going to be made.
Well, that absolutely is what matters, is that they love and they want to play for him. All right. That is critical to getting things done. I mean, because once you lose a locker room, I think, remember Mike Smith. Mike Smith, where people were thinking, is he going to get another year? And the Falcons played against the Panthers in the last game, and they just looked bad. And everybody knew there's no way that he can come back because it looked like he had lost the locker room. And so I'll say that energy, yes, is great. You want it. But the reality is they have to be better situationally, right? They got to be able to make plays when it matters. And then the other part is there are certain guys that have to – I'll call out a Kyle Pitts, right, that says, like, you are a bad matchup. You are a mismatch that makes it where when we get in the red zone, that should be money. You know, you should be Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, all these basketball players that just eat in the red zone. Right. So who are these players that really have to show up? There's been some great play here and there that, again, put the Falcons in positions to win. Last year, we're in great positions to win. But there are some players that have to make that next level, those next level plays, again, in the right situations, too.
It is former Falcon linebacker Chris Draft with us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The last year you were with the team, Chris, you had a young D'Angelo Hall, and you had Allen Rossum, you had Aaron Beasley. We had good corners. I mean, we do certainly believe in A.J. Terrell, but across the other side, you know, Hughes, are we going to address corner in this draft? I mean, I know we got Jesse Bates. How do you feel about the secondary?
Well, I think the secondary played well. It played well, but you have to marry that with the fact that they're not just out there by themselves. Right. And so you get that we got pressure. And I think every Falcons team that's had success, you don't just have a great secondary. You have a defensive line that's getting after along with the backers that are got a little something to them, that, you know, can be a little a-holes. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, I would say, yes, it's important to have the depth. Absolutely. It's important to have a dog at nickel that has a little bit of a linebacker mindset. It's a little bit crazier. It's important to have ball hawks, which we do, back there at safeties. But they can't just play DB without getting more pressure up front.
Chris Draft joining us, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about our Falcons. Let's talk about Carolina here as well in the division, because I know you stay up on what's going on there. I said to Mike, Bryce Young looks like he took the turn at the end of the season, came up and lit us up. And lit us up at the end of the year. But what do they need to do as we talk a little bit about in this division and what teams may do? We know that the Saints have a quarterback situation. They're getting older on defense. But Carolina, I think they're going to go D-line to try to, you know, team somebody with Derek Brown and get back to having that dominant defensive line again.
Absolutely. You know, Dan Morgan, who I played with, is their GM. And he knows what the Panthers, you know, what do the Panthers really look like? They look like a strong defense running the ball and a quarterback that can make plays but really exudes leadership, right? And so I think the biggest thing for Bryce Young was getting benched last year and having to watch Andy Dalton prepare for a game, right? And I think because he was that lead dog and he's kind of going about it where he's trying too hard at certain things, and to watch Andy Dalton just run the offense, manage the team and lead. And I think it was such a great opportunity for him to just get, you know, again, sit on the bench, a lot like what Michael Penix had with the Falcons, a chance to sit on the bench and learn rather than just get put in right away.
Chris Draft, we've been asking everybody the last couple of weeks, so we'll ask you, man, if you're following the draft, this pre-draft hype, are you buying this love or hate for, Shedeur Sanders? I don't understand. Carl's got him pumped up as a top 10 guy, and now you read stuff today from Sports Illustrated, he may fall all the way out of the first. Where do you fall on it?
Well, I'm definitely buying the love or hate, but that's not just him, right? That's quarterbacks in general, where it's like because you have to ask yourself, does this guy fit into our system? Is this the guy that we want? And the reality is not everybody, like there might be somebody that has somebody up on top, but that doesn't mean everybody does, right? So the big thing for Shedeur, get to the place that's the right place for him, right? Mm-hmm. Man, that's what I want for our guys. It's, the best place for you so that you can go out, get coached at a high level. And they, ideally, the problem when you get drafted too early, sometimes they don't have the pieces around. Mm-hmm. So if there's a little bit of hate on Shedeur where he actually drops it down a little bit, that actually might be better for him.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've said if he's there, if for whatever reason he drops out of top 10 and nobody's picking him before the Steelers pick, I think he ends up there. I really do. I think that's a great place. Or maybe even, potentially the Rams draft a quarterback. I'm with you. Maybe those are better situations that he could be in than maybe earlier in the draft. Speaking of situations, talk to us about that. When you're a young player, you get drafted, you get there, you live this, you went through it. You're kind of trying to figure it out, right? I mean, it's not – this thing doesn't click overnight for a lot of guys.
It doesn't. I think probably one of the best examples of that is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had the rookie record for interceptions.
Right.
Right? So even though he grew up with Archie Manning, grew up within the NFL, learned and had been behind the scenes, it's still by being picked early and going to one of the not so good teams, it still was a learning curve. And so I think that, the key is recognizing you have a guy that's willing to learn and you have people around them that really can communicate with them and actually coach it.
Chris Draft is with us, guys, former Falcon linebacker, part of that team that played the Eagles NFC Championship, and a guy that knows the team, follows the team. 16, we joked around that Arthur Blank told Dimitroff, I need three starters, you nitwits, and we got them. They got some impact dudes. Chris, can we get, with our limited picks that we have this year, do you think we can plug in these guys and be very similar to 16 with a dynamic offense and a defense that's just good enough?
I think so. I think so. I think, again, if we're honest about it, again, I went to a lot of games, watched most of the games last year. And again, when you saw it was when Kurt struggled
right.
that the team struggled. But once Michael came in and was just, getting the ball to the players, we got playmakers. We got a bunch of playmakers on offense. So when you get the ball to them, hold on to the ball, and then let the defense rest, a lot of good things happen. So what I would say, I'm looking for more pressure from that defensive line. We got to be more explosive also from our return guys too. You guys said Allen Rossum when you talked about him as a corner, but where Allen was impactful was less as a corner, where he was definitely a great player out here, but really from kickoffs and from punt returns, anytime that ball was in his hands, he was dangerous.
Yeah, it's a great point. And the return game has to get better. I agree with that. Chris Draftman, we appreciate you stopping by. It's going to be a lot of fun this week to take it all in and see what the Falcons do. And hopefully we do get the guys that help us improve as we get back to the regular season in the fall. Chris, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the draft.
Appreciate you guys. Rise up.
Rise up, baby.
That's what's up. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk more about our Hawks in the future. They have fired Landry Fields. If you're just joining us, that news breaking today as the Hawks lose in their play-in game. And Mike, you know, we said it. They fought back from 17 down.
Right.
But weren't able to get it done. And as you start evaluating where this team is, Tony Ressler's statement said it. We evaluate every year, and we don't think we are where we need to be, and this is a big offseason. We got to get the right people in, so they move on from Landry Fields. We'll talk more about it coming up.
Listening all year long. Final score in overtime. The Heat, 123, and the Hawks, 114.
That escalated quickly. I mean, I was feeling all good. Hey, we're going to overtime. Let's do who's guarding Mitchell?
What a roller coaster. Man, that guy was hot garbage for like three quarters, and then Davion Mitchell just couldn't miss. You know, and you and I, we talked about it. There were some elements similar to the Magic. Obviously, the Heat are a better jump shooting team. But, man, when Hero started popping from the top of the key, it's like, oh, boy.
Well, you only
That's
get,
it. It's all over.
Yeah, you only get 5 minutes in overtime, and they didn't clown around. I mean, they're hitting shots, and there were hustle plays, and you just felt like, okay, what's going on here? Either way, the Hawks bow out. Now, I will tell you, we do have a 0.8% chance of landing the number one overall pick. As Cooper Flagg has declared he's going in the NBA draft, he will be the number one overall pick. But with that said, we pick 13th. We get Sacramento's pick. So we get a decent pick. We'll see how that all plays out. I do not think we're getting the number one overall pick. If that happens, the basketball gods have shined down on us because there are so many teams that have bigger odds to get the number one overall pick. Utah has the best odds as they had the worst season.
Yeah, no, look, a lot of guys, I will say this, you know, every time we go down this road and Day-Day's got a poll question up, and Day-Day. Stirring it up, man.
What'd he say?
I think this is Day-Day's most adventurous poll question since taking on the production role of Dukes and Bell.
Okay.
Where he asked the question, should we move on from Trey?
Well, it's
quite frankly, I don't think we're getting results.
It's a valid question.
But we're asking the question today, and again, I do see a lot of positivity. A lot of folks feel, and some guys are actually defending Landry Fields. They're feeling, he might have been an idiot early on, but he was actually starting to make some good things happen late in his run.
The ethos that we want to build.
Indeed. But, still, you never recover from the DeJounte Murray trade. And look, you thought Trey – look, some guys are saying Trey's culpable. Well, yeah, Trey said to Nate, I can do it. I can work without the ball. Carl, it never worked.
No.
And then the only good thing that came from it is years later and three first-round picks later, you do get Dyson Daniels. And we love his game. But, yeah, I thought Landry Fields at the end of this day, and you say, well, had Jalen Johnson not get hurt, he's still here as your general manager? Because then the chicken and the egg. Well, you still have traded DeAndre Hunter if Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt.
I thought we were a little soft on the ball.
Well, please, Nate.
Yeah, look, I don't know, Mike. I mean, hindsight obviously is 20/20, and the idea that Jalen doesn't get hurt puts us in a different position because what you have then is a second closer, and we didn't have that. And when you're relying on Trey, who, when he gets to the basket, is amongst the trees and has a difficult time sometimes getting those shots off. Facts. You don't have a bigger guy like Jalen who can just muscle his way to the basket, Mike, and then elevate over guys, which is what we've seen from other stars that are bigger. So that is true. I do think that is probably the circumstance that we would have had, which is you get another closer. This probably looks different. I've said all along, I think we're a top five or six team in the East if he stayed healthy. But the other part of this is, again, where are you going? And why is it, as you've mentioned, and I think it's really the most important thing you have to look at here. How did these other teams all of a sudden get so much better than we did? In the same amount of time, it's not as if these teams went out and spent and brought in their version of the big three. You know, Cleveland, just think about this. Cleveland, when we beat them a few years ago, everybody wanted them to trade Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. They didn't. Garland is 24. Mobley's 22 now. And they may be the best team in the league. The only thing they did, Mike, is they stayed the course, and then they went out and acquired, obviously, Donovan Mitchell in a trade. But my point is, like, this is not going out and getting the version of your big two or three They just stayed and continued to build, and they got the right guys. And I look around the league. The Celtics, those are all drafted guys.
Right. I mean, you mentioned Oklahoma City. We've talked about – like
drafted.
For instance, Detroit, okay? Detroit, I mean, Cade Cunningham matured. You know, we know whatever you want to say, 3 years, 4 years, yep. 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. But, you know, and they also augmented that roster with some worker bees, you know? Guys like Malik Beasley, guys like bringing in Schroeder in a trade. Just they got a nice piece of – that team was below us. That team was one of the worst teams in the conference, if not the entire NBA. And 3 years later, we're looking up at them. So that's why Landry Fields is gone. But at the end of the day, Landry Fields made this decision because, and again, how much of this was wrestler's kid and his cabal of analytics people or guys who fancy themselves as NBA experts? But you had a best of seven series. The Hawks lost to the number one seed, the Heat, in five. Trey got double teamed. So how do you fix that? Well, get some better athletes around him. No, let's take Trey off the ball, and then he's never going to sign off on it.
Yeah.
And that's why Travis Schlenk said, I can't do this. Travis, remember, it was a slow burn. Travis was kicked upstairs, I think, before that move was made, but he was never going to sign off on it. Landry Fields and his guys did. It was a huge mistake, and we're still paying the price. And now we're stuck in this, we're sub-500 for 3 years in a row.
Yeah. And by the way, if DeJounte was here, we wouldn't have been any better.
No.
Matter of fact, I think we would have been worse.
And he was not an elite defender. Remember, we thought he was a better defender on the trade at the time, and he wasn't.
No. Dyson is a way better defender, and we now know that as he's up for Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved Player as well. As we talk about the Hawks, guys, that news dropping today, and again, it changes the direction of this franchise. I actually think it's a good thing. I'm not saying Landry getting fired. I don't wish that upon anybody. But the fact that the owner and maybe the folks who made this decision, you know, that were saying, hey, this is what we need to do. This vision's got to be bigger than just, okay, year to year, we're okay. Dude. How do you create the interest and the buzz, Mike, that you once had about this team a few years ago? And you said it. We just didn't build on it. So
right.
I think this could be a good thing. And I said earlier, big vision. All right? It goes beyond Trey. And the reason why Trey is the centerpiece here is because there's nobody else on your team that you're about to pay $229 million to, or for that matter, potentially $345 million
yes.
to. That's why he is the centerpiece of this discussion. So when you say, oh, Dukes and Bell, you're picking on Trey – I've defended Trey all year long. I think he's matured. I think he's had a really good year. But I also am a realist, Mike, when I look at these other teams that are in front of us and I see how they're winning and I see how they've been constructed. We're not there.
No. I mean, we've blown it. We debated. Carl and I were just talking off the air, and I was talking to a couple of listeners today. Follow us. Carl's put him up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. You know, when Jalen Johnson gets hurt, do you side? I mean, look, I get it. The market for Hunter would never be any higher than it was. Did he have a basket, by the way, for Cleveland yesterday? Did he even score?
Oh, I don't even know.
I don't think he did anything. I had to look it up. But if you go back and look at, okay, so now you get Caris LeVert in here. Are you going to re-sign Caris LeVert in the offseason? Is he going to be part of how you spend that $40 million we've got? Because otherwise, it's the same difference as Al Horford walking away all those years ago. If you don't turn it into something, a net positive, right?
Well,
for your roster.
Yes. I think LeVert, and that's going to be a reasonable deal. I do. I feel like that's not going to break the bank. But I also think, again, what free agents you potentially attract to come here, and again, just not to spin the spin. We always talk about this, but it's about putting those right pieces around him. But everybody is talking about the core. You're right, Mike. We've talked about this for the last few years. When Trey was 21 or 22 years old, and we went to the Eastern Conference Finals, everybody said, they're so young! Oh, they're so young! We haven't done Jack since. So now everybody hits me up, and they say, well, Zach's only 22 or 20, and Dyson's 22, and, you know, Double O's only 24. Well, this is a young core. Jalen's 23. We got a young core. We've been talking about this young core, but we don't see the results.
Right, that's just it. Now, I mean, yes, Jalen Johnson is – now, some would say an injury is an injury. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. If it was a chronic knee injury or an ankle thing you're worried about, it's an upper leg. It was an arm.
Arm.
Or shoulder.
Right.
So you're hoping that he bounces back. But, guys, he's missed a ton of – whatever. You joked around – it was 2 years ago. Man, get some sneakers that fit because he rolls an ankle.
Yeah, kept spraining his ankle.
So, I mean, you got to stay on the floor. So, yes, you could argue we have a yes, young – the young Nucleus isn't producing. We just lost again in the play-in. The Miami team that was a lot worse than us beat us at home here. I didn't think Trey had a – now, Trey, statistically, if you looked at it, I thought you could say, well, he had decent numbers. I didn't think Trey was particularly good in both playoff games this year.
No,
at times, he was very sluggish in the first half, I thought, at times in both games.
You kept saying as we watched that game, and we had this text going on between us, and early in the game, Mike's like, where's Trey? Meaning – this is the playoffs.
Let's go show time, right? Baby.
And I wasn't responding because the way the game started, I was so frustrated. I was hot. Like, they're playing like crap. This is typical. People are going to kill our team again. Here we are in a moment where we're not going to show up. And I'm not responding. Mike's continuing to text, where's Trey? Right? So we get to the second half, and literally they're down 17, and I'm like, I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
Mike, where's Trey? Finally, he starts to come alive.
Right.
And again, we battle back from 17. But to your point, here's the thing, man. I mean, like, statistically, this is the thing. Most guys look at the box score, if you do, and you look at points, you look at assists, you look at rebounds, and you see the numbers. 29-11, he had a really good game. He was 9 for 22. He took 22 shots. He was not on in that game.
No.
Now, he found it, but even the free throws, Mike, where Trey usually goes to the free throw line, he was 7 of 8. He does get a lot of points there, and I've said Trey is good for at least 10 points from the line on any given night.
Right.
So, you know, 8 of the 29 were at the free throw line. Okay, so then he had 20, and the most critical bucket was the layup to put it in overtime, right, with 1.3 seconds left. That was a great bucket, closer moment, great job. But then in the overtime, they just completely fell apart. And he couldn't do anything either in the overtime.
Now, the good news is we will have the minivan here next year. George Niang has got one more year on his contract, 25-26. And we had him on the show the other day. Great dude. He was big. He came up with some big buckets. Now, he was really struggling with his three-point shot.
Yes.
He was just 2 of 7, unfortunately. But he finished with 20. LeVert with 15. He had a couple of big threes. But the thing is, and this is where, when you guys want to talk about our young core and you want to use that as a selling point, we can't have it both ways at Reece Hachette. I praise Reece Hachette. You and I do all the time on the show. He was awful against the Magic. He was awful.
He was.
In this game. So, I mean, take it and chalk it up to his first playoff experience, albeit play-in game. Okongwu was the man. That's why I said moving forward, if you want to say, hey, let's make it just Okongwu, you're the four, right? We'll go get some big rim protector. And that's a nice piece, okay? Reece Hachette, you got Jalen Johnson, Dyson, Trey. I can work with that, right? And then we got some good pieces off the bench with Caris LeVert, presuming he's re-signed, and George Niang. Okay, but guys got to stay healthy, and how are we going to spend that extra loot?
I don't know. I'll tell you this.
And what is the vision of this? And does a new general manager come in and say to Wrestler, guys, we can't win with Trey?
Yes, he does.
I'm just saying.
Check that. He evaluates whether that is the decision, but if he has to say it, Mike, he has to say it. Like, I do think that's something they're going to have to talk about. But I was going to say, like, for example, we talk about Landry Fields. V. Krejci was basically on a two-way contract, which is allowing him to play at the G League and then when they needed him to come up. And then they signed V. Krejci, Mike. Now, it's not big money, but it's a four-year, $6.3 million deal, partially guaranteed contract. Great. Under the circumstances, they needed, you know, a guy that can handle the ball and a bigger body. V. Krejci's not – that shouldn't be a part of your bench rotation. I'm just telling you.
Right.
Like,
no, that's not a guy who's going to win you a playoff.
No, and Mike, he didn't do anything. He didn't have any points in 8 minutes of the other night.
By the way, DeAndre Hunter had no points for the Cavs the other day.
Well, I told you, they got a bunch of guys that do what he does.
Luckily we got that trade. But getting back to the big picture, yeah, Veet is just a dude.
He's just a dude. And that's my point. Yeah. Like, Veet, the 12th or 15th guy on the bench, is a different deal than Veet being the sixth man off the bench. Like, that is not going to help us get to where we need to be.
And Mo Gay played 15 minutes. He technically was a starter in this game. And as we said, the size of Adebayo, you know, we talked about, I mean, Bam Adebayo, and we talked about, you know, some of the – by the way, I mentioned that Khalil Ware had 12 points, had a couple of big boards. Mm-hmm. So I just –
But Mo Gay is a guy that should be giving you 8 to 10 minutes off the bench, not starter.
No, not a starter.
And that's those are the things, though. You got to come in, whoever the general manager is, he's got to come in and understand, and he will, fix this part of the roster, and then how do you supplement around what you have in Dyson and Jalen, and you said it, Double O, and Trey, if Trey is still going to be here. And by the way, Trey's under contract. Let me be clear about this because some people heard me earlier, and they were like, he's leaving after next season.
He's got an opt-out.
He's under contract through next year. But if they don't, and he's eligible to sign a four-year, $229 million extension. But if they don't, and they say, we're just going to wait, Trey basically at the end of next June, right, you're either signing him or he says, hey, I'm gonna opt out. And again, why wouldn't you opt out when you know you can make more?
So the glass half full crowd is saying, look, if Jalen Johnson's here, we're not going to be in that play-in. Like, I don't think we were going to catch the sixth seed, but they feel that, you know, it's a different dynamic. Okay, I'll give you that. Still don't know what. So if he's here, then Hunter's still here? See, there we can just like sort of this chicken and the egg thing again. All I'm saying, guys, is by any measuring stick, play-in is not progress. That's why I think they fired Landry Fields.
All right, man, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. Braves finally get a streak, which was the good news. But Connor Riley's going to join us coming up here in less than 5 minutes to talk some dogs. They got some guys out of the portal that they think can really help them. We'll find out who those guys are coming up.